We'll continue our series on being devoted this morning. Devotion is about something which shapes your directions and kind of purpose in life, something that's highly important to you. We've looked at two aspects so far. We're going to look at a third one this morning. But in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we meet the early church, this group of New Testament believers who have come under the strong conviction of the gospel, the strong conviction of God's Spirit. In verse 37, just a couple of verses back from this, we hear that as the people hear the message of the gospel proclaimed, they are gripped, they are cut to their heart and ask, what should we do? These are people who have come to understand what Jesus has done for them. The fact that God has acted in history clearly and powerfully. He has sent the Messiah. He didn't just send him, but this Jesus actually died for them and rose from the death. And God has now declared him King and Lord, Messiah. And he will place all enemies under his feet one day. These people belong to him. And how they live is kind of captured in four key statements, things that they are devoted to. Now, that passage, of course, that sentence or that verse 42, doesn't cover everything these early followers of Jesus did, but kind of highlights four key areas or four things that when looks at them, kind of steps back and assesses who they are, these four things stand out. What were they? Well, we've heard about the apostles' teaching. They wanted to grow in what it meant to follow their master, to listen to the voice of Jesus. So they devoted themselves to the truth of his word, as shared through the apostles. And that continues today. They were devoted to the fellowship. They were devoted to meeting together. This wasn't a solo mission. This was a coming together. And they would get together to the fellowship. They shared, being people who were forgiven because of Jesus. And next week we hear from Jesse that they were a people devoted to prayer. Not just by themselves, but together. They would praise God, confess their sins, give thanks to God. We'll hear more about that next week. But today we're looking at the phrase, or this aspect of that they were devoted to breaking bread. Now, I'm not sure about you, but when you just hear that phrase, they were devoted to breaking bread, why would that be so important? When Luke summarises with four things, he says they were devoted to breaking bread. Why would it be so distinctive? Now, I don't know about you, but when you do your shopping, you know, it's pretty boring most of the time, but sometimes there's those magical moments when you shop. Like when you go past the bakery section, you know, and the bread's just come out and that wafts through. You know, I slow down a little bit just as I cruise through that part of Woolies, you know. It's lovely, isn't it? Is that perhaps why they were devoted to bread? Because there's nothing quite like bread, fresh, tasty, pulling out the centre and munching on it, you know. Were they like us, people shaped by their fine food culture? I don't know, we probably wouldn't get called people devoted to bread. These days we might be more like devoted to macaroons or something. But is that what Luke is talking about? Well, I'm sure you would think not. It's not because bread's tasty. That's not why they're devoted to bread. What is it that you hear of when you hear that phrase? They're devoted to breaking bread. Well, perhaps it's the first thing that pops into your mind is communion or the Lord's Supper. Remembering the echo of Jesus' words in Luke 24. At the time of the Passover meal, that great meal where God's people remembered his saving of them, his redemption of them, taking them out of Egypt, rescuing them, and the beginning of bringing them home. And at that meal, they would break bread and share that together. Perhaps that's what it's talking about. And here Jesus points to his body through the broken bread which would be given up and the wine which would point to his blood being shed. Perhaps it's that. The Apostle Paul picks up that idea, talking about bread being broken in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 later on. It could mean just that they devote themselves to this act of remembrance. But I think it's actually more than that. It involves that, but it's not just that. It's more than just saying the early church was devoted to having communion or the Lord's Supper together. It's part of the expression, but it's more. But what else does breaking bread point to? When we look through Scripture, particularly the New Testament, the early church, that phrase comes up in the aspect of a meal together. Simple yet profound. Often that's what it's simply talking about. For in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, just a couple of verses later on, we read these words. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They are mealing together. They are sharing each other's lives. They are breaking bread together. And this idea pops up as well from the writer of Acts, Luke, records that, you remember the story on the road to Emmaus, there's two disciples who are walking on the road to Emmaus, and as they go, this person comes alongside them. They're all downcast and overwhelmed with grief because Jesus has died and they're not sure what's going on, but this person gets alongside them, who is Jesus, they don't recognise it yet, and explain to them what will happen, or what did happen to the Messiah and why. It's all clear in the scripture, and that he would rise again. And then they go and sit down in a house, and what do? It describes him as breaking bread. Because remember, Luke and Acts are only really one book with two volumes. He's using this phrase to talk about people having a meal together. Jesus sits down, they break bread, and they eat together. It's not just that the early church met together that stood out. It's that they ate together. They did life together. It's a way of summarising that. Because a meal is a very personal thing, isn't it? It's a relational thing. For who do you have meals with? Think about it. Who do you sit down and have a meal with, share food with? What's normally your top picks would be your family or your friends, isn't it? When you think about it, it's normally your family or your friends because you're doing life together. You're investing in each other. You're opening your personal space. You're opening up yourself to other people, that you know them and they know you, over this intimate act of simply sharing a meal together. It's normally a way to enrich bonds or to encourage someone to move from that associate stage to known stage, where there is capacity not to not love, but there's capacity to love as you get to know them. Because that's how you get to know people, isn't it? But think about it at church. When you want to get to know someone, you don't just keep saying hi and bailing out the back door straight away, do you? That's not how we get to care for each other. What do you normally say to someone? Come over for a meal. Or they invite you over. And what's the purpose, the motive? I don't think there's any con men here, so that could be a dodgy motive. But normally the motive for breaking bread together, having a meal, is to get to know someone. That's the motivation. And look, it can be hard in a big congregation to get to know each other really well, and it takes time. But when we love one another, we spend that time getting to know each other, caring for each other. That's what that phrase, breaking bread, can often just mean, having a meal. And bread was the mainstay of the people in Jesus' day. And to break bread is a phrase which can just mean that. Kind of the same way we would use the word barbecue. You know, come over for a barbecue. What do we normally, you're not saying come over, eat a sausage and go. There's salad, there's buns, there's drink, and there's what? Conversation. Maybe some good coffee, but you know. Conversation. That's what you're talking about. The phrase has much more to it. Just like breaking bread describes sharing a meal together. And I think that's what Luke is pointing to the early church being devoted to. They cared for one another. It's pointing to the context of what a meal does. It provides the means for them to show hospitality, love, in their togetherness. I shared this when we looked at fellowship. The Christian faith is not just about me and my journey with Jesus. It's about our journey with Jesus. We are a family. We do this together. It's not about superficial relationships. We can make it be that way. It's not meant to be that way. It's about breaking bread together. And as Luke looks at the church, he goes, these people, they are together, hearing God's word, praying. They're getting together, but it's more than just that. They break bread together. It really stands out. Now, you might just think it's just a cultural thing, you know. You know, Middle Eastern hospitality. I don't know if anyone's actually experienced some good Middle Eastern hospitality. They like to make sure that your fullers are good, don't they, before you go home. You know, they want to keep shoving it in. They're quite hospitable. I remember as a young boy, it was quite lovely to remember, have this memory as I was thinking about this phrase. When I got diagnosed with diabetes, I was in hospital for a few weeks, and in that time we met another family. My mum was a bit of a yakka. That might be where I get it from. She met this lady. I think she was Egyptian. I knew she was, I can't remember exactly where she was from, but they invited us over for a meal. And man, I just remember being fed so much. I think of baklava and rice. It was just coming and coming. Really hospitable people. I think it put my sugar through the roof, but you know, good intention. Is that all it really is here? It's not actually something that stands out. Luke just kind of points out a highlight of the cult. Well, no, because Luke wants us to know a distinctive about the early church. It's not just random people getting together, but these people who belong to Jesus really invest in one another. And they break bread, they eat together. That's what they're doing. And it's helpful to have the Bible correct our culture where it's not healthy, is it? Or to correct our individual ideas. Because we are very individualistic. It is about me and my journey with Jesus. It's about what I'm doing. I come thinking about me. I hear thinking about me. I go thinking about me. But the Bible says no. Again, remember you're part of something bigger. Break bread together. Break bread together. Would you and I, if you think about it, would you be described as a person who is devoted to breaking bread with others? Are we as a church, if people looked back and heard of us and saw us in action, would they describe us as a church who break bread together? Or would we perhaps be more described, or perhaps would you be more described, would I be more described as someone who committed to prayer and the apostles' teaching, coming, but then once it's over, occasionally staying for a second, without a concern really for those we sit next to each and every week, sit behind or in front of each and every week, basically in and out. Breaking bread together is an expression of Christian love. Through the rest of the New Testament, there's a couple of times it pops up again and again in the context of hospitality. This wasn't just the experience of the early church once the, and it just kind of waned after the buzz of Pentecost wore off. Nothing like that at all. We read that passage from Romans. And I only read three verses, and every time the context of hospitality or sharing together comes up, the introduction or the anchor point is always love. It's always love. Listen to Romans 12 again from verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality, opening our homes together. And in 1 Peter 4, we read these words. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Having that meal together shaped by love. And I love Peter's point there. Not saying, yeah, come on over, have a sausage. I ate two sausages, I'm not happy about that. You know, it's a drama having people over. No, offer hospitality without grumbling. Invest in one another's lives. Care for one another. And if that wasn't enough to get the thread of the New Testament and this encouragement to be people of hospitality, breaking bread together, investing in each other's lives, listen to Hebrews 13. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality, particularly to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Holy guacamole! You know, the writer then thinks back of Abraham's experience and Lot's experience. Now, I don't think that's an expectation that we have, but show hospitality. Be people who open our homes, share a meal, invest in each other's lives, shaped by love, caring for one another. See, the breaking of bread, having a meal, actually binds us together. It's a wonderful, powerful thing that we as Christians are to be doing. It's not about getting intel on each other. It's about getting to know each other and caring for each other. Because we're in this together. And you see then that idea of breaking bread as being a meal ties so strongly with the Lord's Supper. Because its context, its origin is in a meal together. Remembering that as Jesus explained in the Gospels, the breaking of bread and the drinking of wine, it was with the background of the Passover behind them. They had a meal together And that is where the bread was broken and the wine was drunk. That's the context. It's also the kind of idea that comes through when you read Corinthians. Now, as a quick tangent, so thinking over Corinthians, if you're a person that ever gets kind of down about the church and the world, go read Corinthians. It's really encouraging because you see the kind of shenanigans going on there and you think, God's been dealing with us for so long, nothing is new under the sun. So there's a weird encouragement that comes through reading Corinthians, particularly when it comes to the Lord's Supper. You look at what these guys are doing. They're having this meal together, but some of them, you know, are having so much that they're getting tanked, they're getting drunk, some of them, while other people aren't having anything. And Paul says, it's nonsense. What are you doing? You're meant to be getting shaped by love as you come together and you remember the Lord's body. Because it's this idea of a meal coming together. Breaking bread as they met and shared each other's lives would often have an aspect of it of stopping and remembering Christ's body broken for them as they broke their bread. As they sat across the table and they met, we are Christians. Let us remember who died for us. Remember the blood shed for us as part of their meeting together around that meal. They declared their shared experience of forgiveness on the cross. So the breaking of bread, as we remember it, binds us to Jesus, but also to each other. Now, time and growth of the church over years has led that we don't do communion that way. But the language we use is of a meal, isn't it? You know, we break this bread. We take it together. We drink from this cup. We do it together. Because it's very easy for us to think that when we come to communion, it's just about us with the format where we just have a little bit of bread and a little bit of wine. We come up thinking about us and we go thinking about us. But it's actually about those that are next to you as well. It is a shared meal, a shared togetherness. We have been redeemed as we share in this meal together. It's not just about you, it's about those around you. When it comes to breaking bread with others, what stops you? Really, when you think about it, when it comes to breaking bread together, what is it that stops you and doesn't matter in the scheme of eternity? Hypothetically, I don't know, I'm pretty sure it won't go this way, but what's the conversation going to be like when we stand before Jesus? What are you going to think when he says, why didn't you ever break bread with your fellow believers? Why didn't you ever open up your home, invest in their lives, care for them, break bread with them? Why did you just think church was about you? Sure, you prayed together. Sure, you sang together. Sure, you met. But you never broke bread together and cared for each other. You just shot out the door once it's done. And all you could come up with when you ask that question is, well, I didn't really want my cushions to be shuffled on my lounge with people coming over. You know, I didn't want to lose any more of my personal time because it is actually all about me, Jesus. Think of this in eternity, you know, and oh, perhaps, you know, I get this one a little bit, but I'm not a fancy cook, you know, I've got to put on, you know, flambé, roast, Herbie, macaroons, I'm not a fancy cook. In eternity, is that going to matter? How's that going to sound? Does it really matter if we have multicoloured Tupperware or plates that are collected over decades? It doesn't. But how wonderful to eat a Vegemite sandwich on someone's wonky chair, on plastic plates, while we learn of each other, hear of what's going on in life, hearing of the story of what God is doing and has done in your life. How you struggle yet persevere, perhaps barely, so that you can pray together. What does it mean for you to belong to Jesus? What is it that brings you to tears of frustration as you struggle with sin? Or perhaps there is rejection from family or friends. What is it that stirs your heart in praise of God? What are the answers to your prayers or the experiences of reconciliation you have had from a friend or perhaps someone who you thought was your enemy? That doesn't happen when we come and go. That happens when we stop and break bread together. and invest in each other's lives. We share not to get intel on each other. We share to grow and love because we have been loved. Perhaps there's not the opportunity for some of us, in all fairness, not to open up our homes for some reason. But there's still opportunity, isn't there? Perhaps not to break bread together, but to break cake together. Do you see the high value of what happens after here when we stop and have morning tea together? It's not just shooting the breeze, talking about the weather. That is where there's opportunity for us over broken cake and a cup of coffee to do those things where love is expressed. Jesus said, this is how people will know that you are my disciples, when you have love one towards another. That can't happen when it's superficial. We come and we go, we do church. It's so much more than that. Stay and linger. Do life together because we're going to be doing eternity together. How can your brother or sister help carry your burden if they don't know you beyond the surface as you run out the door? How can your brother and sister rejoice as your heart is gripped or moulded by a passage of Scripture if you only ever talk about the weather? Perhaps after the service today, ask the person you're chatting to, what stops you from opening your home? What stops you from investing in each other, if you're bold enough? And then, does it matter in view of eternity? And they get to ask you the same question. The church was and is to be devoted to breaking bread, doing life together, experiencing, expressing hospitality as we are shaped by and for the one whose body was broken for us. The breaking of bread binds us to Jesus and to each other. He has loved us. We remember that as we break bread. Let us love one another as we together break bread together. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. You are a good master. You shape and mould us as we need to be, not giving us more than we can bear, but Father, through your word, shaping us so that we would become more like your Son. Father, may each of us grow in our love towards each other, in the way we open up our lives. Father, we pray also that we would not just grow in our love of each other in the breaking of bread, but Father, as we break bread in communion, may our love for your Son grow as well. May our devotion to these things increase. And Heavenly Father, we just ask your rich blessing upon us in the name of your Son. Amen.